It's time once again for another podcast, the Josabot Podcast, happening now. And today is going to be music related. We're going to jam out with somebody who has a lot of great content. We're going to get to know him. He goes by the name of Sean Mecca. Sean Mecca, what's up, man? How you been?
What's going on, brother? What's happening? I'm out here, man, living and dreaming. You know what I mean? So,
yes, sir. Hey, man. Thank you once again for coming on the show, the Josabot Podcast, found exclusively on YouTube. So for those of you that haven't heard of it, like, share, and subscribe at any given instant. But yeah, man, Sean Mecca, what's going on, man? I've heard your stuff. Tell me about what you're currently working on, man.
Man, right now, what I got is something beautiful, man. I'm working on, it's a reggaeton, cumbia, merengue type joint that I've been working on for about a year. I had an issue with the beat, so I had to get the beat remade. I already had it out, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just recently just got the master back, actually today. So that song will be going up December 11th, hopefully, man. So that song is called Ella Tiene Ritmo. It'll be out on iTunes, Spotify, and it'll be worldwide, man. So I'm really excited for this joint. This one is going to be just totally different from everything else that I've ever done, man. So it's going to be great, man.
So this one's more of a reggaeton beat.
Yeah.
And what do you normally work on for those of you that have never heard of Sean Mecca?
I mean, normally it's like, you know, hip-hop, R&B, you know what I mean, rap type stuff. So, you know, this is just something, you know, I kind of steered away a little bit when it came to this one, because, you know, I like to experiment. I like to test the waters when it comes to creating and making music, you know what I mean? To see, you know, just how it feels and how it would fit me. So I've even done a country song before. So it's just, don't ask about the country song. It's in the vault. It's in the vault.
It'll be released posthumous, because we cannot die right now listening to that crap. Oh, man. Yeah. It better be at the caliber of Garth Brooks. I've heard Sean Mecca, and Sean Mecca, yeah, is definitely at the top of my list. But if I hear a Sean Mecca country, I don't know how I'd feel about that.
That's why it's stuck in the vault, my friend. So,
man. Well, maybe. Maybe we'll get some exclusive rights to go ahead and preview that, because, again, I mean, I'm open.
One day.
I'm open to a lot of things. You know, I'm a very open mind, but yeah. Man. So tell me about, that's what you're currently working on, that and Ella Tiene Ritmo. That's what we're calling it.
Ella Tiene Ritmo.
Gotcha. Tell me about this other track. I hadn't heard this track before, but I posted it on my Facebook, because I was trying to engage the audience with, like, yo, I'm going to have Sean Mecca tonight, right? And and I found this on YouTube, and it's called El Mecatón.
Okay, that was actually
Mas
EP
Party
that I was going to drop. Yeah, so that one was an EP that I was going to put out. The EP was going to be called El Mecatón, and I had a few songs on there. Actually, Ella Tiene Ritmo was one of the songs that was supposed to be on there. Mm-hmm. And then I had a few other joints, you know, which was the body joint, and there was another one that was on there. I can't remember the name of that joint. But that one was supposed to be out. One of the beats, you know, I couldn't get it cleared. I couldn't get it cleared for some reason. So I put that project aside. I had a few of my friends who came to me, like, hey, man, it's like that Ella Tiene Ritmo joint needs to go out. It needs to go out. That one right there, that one I couldn't get cleared. And then it just so happens, you know, I had another friend of mine, a rapper buddy of mine, who happens to, you know, do the music also. And he had, you know, so happened to have that same beat. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to put that one aside. So
this is the one that you could not get cleared. But let's preview it real quick.
They call me Big Papa, break them up proper. Mr. Shakala, yo quiero más of them dollars. Bottle with a loose, no sense. She wiggle like a worm in that dress, no sense.
Okay, man. Hey,
yeah, yeah.
So, man, this is what I've always liked about your music, man. You have a skill set for writing.
Correct. Yeah.
And that skill set, it's very, very catchy. Like, it's almost like you know the formula to a good song. And I mean, I'm not blowing anything. I'm not just saying it to say it, but I'm saying it because, as you can see, while I play that jam, I mean, I'm over here jamming it. And as a DJ, as a former DJ, you know, that's something that definitely gets the people going. You got to be able to
definitely
to vibe, right? To gauge it. Is that, I mean, tell me about the process when you're writing or when you're doing when
the writing process. I do not write. Everything is just pretty much pure freestyle.
Really?
So I do the what's called the Lil Wayne Jay-Z method, as a lot of rappers call it. So pretty much what I do is I hear the beat, I jam it out for, you know, a few minutes. I listen to it. Okay, I like this one. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to start, you know, humming some different melodies to it. I'm going to go back and forth with some different melodies, play with the song. And, you know, usually what I do is I lay down the chorus or the hook first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I freestyle everything. Like I said, I'll play the beat. I'll come up with something. Okay, this is going to be the first line. Boom. Go back. Think of the second line. Record it. The next line and so forth and so forth. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the verses too. So occasionally I'll write, you know, when it comes to, I guess, certain sensitive topics, you know, and stuff like that. But when it comes to like music like this and, you know, fun songs, it's just whatever comes out, man.
Wow, man. So you could have fooled me, because I definitely thought you had a way of writing, man. Like,
No.
So pretty much you are the DJ in your mind, and you're gauging what sounds great in your mind.
Yeah.
See, I don't think I can do that, man. I mean, to me, have you ever seen that what is it, the Family Guy episode where Peter is singing a song? And he is gone. He's far gone. but in his mind, it sounds amazing.
It's the best. Yes, I've seen that. Yeah,
and that's me. That's me. I'm not gonna lie to you. I've seen some karaoke videos of myself, man. I think I'm doing great. Oh yeah, man.
So, but that's pretty much what the process is for me. So.
So how long have you been in the game? I tend to ask this question because some people might have not have heard of you, although you are on Spotify, you're on iTunes, you're on Tidal. How long have you been in the rap game?
I started making music in 1999. Started making music in 99. I didn't take it serious until maybe after high school. I graduated in 2006. So after that, I graduated and I just hit the ground running, man. I put everything that I could. Even in high school, I was doing it, but I wasn't really taking it, you know, too serious because, you know, I wasn't putting too much money behind it, anything like that. But, you know, as soon as I graduated, that's when I took off with it.
Right.
And, you know, here we are today. So.
So 2006, you were taking it a little bit more serious. You wrote your first stuff in 99. Can it be found somewhere, or is it in the vault?
No, man. You know what? I think the oldest song that I have is maybe when I was about 15. I was about 15. That was like in maybe 2002, 2003, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, yeah, about 2002, 2003. So, but that's the oldest song that I have. So go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your statement. I'll ask this question afterwards.
So pretty much everything before that was done on a karaoke machine. It was done on I think it was called a Mr. Microphone or something like that.
Right.
And everything that I had was on tapes. It was on cassette tapes. So this was before I had access to a computer. This was before, you know, I was able to burn CDs and stuff like that. So. You know what? Come to think about it, I think maybe my mom might have some of those tapes somewhere in storage or something. So,
oh man, have to ask her. Yeah, we're gonna have to turn that into MP3 files Is that yeah. Are y'all still using MP3 files, or what are y'all using now?
Yeah. So it's a MP3 and wave formats. So
yeah, man. So going back to that time, it took me way back. 2002. 2001. I was graduating from high school. 2002 to 2005, I became a DJ, and we were rocking a lot of that stuff. But I had never heard of Sean Mecca yet. The moment I, the way I discovered you was through a buddy of mine named Bob. Bob was making a push for another artist named Carlton Zeus. Yeah, so yeah. I believe I met you at an event that we had at South Padre where we decided to go out there and Zeus was performing and you were performing as well. And at that point, we kind of hit it off. You know, we were over here taking pictures and so forth. And after that, I started following you. And your music is awesome. It's in my rotation, my personal rotation. And
awesome. I appreciate that.
And I've seen you grow. So tell me about Sean Mecca messing around with Carlton Zeus to Sean Mecca now.
Man, Zeus is a really good friend of mine, man. That guy is something else, man. I tell you, everything that you see in the videos and hearing the music, that's him in person, man. Like, that's legit him in person. So, I mean, back when I first met him, you know what I mean? He was, you know, barely coming up too. You know what I mean? He was doing his thing. And I was like, man, this guy is doing it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. From then till now, like it's just amazing. You know, the kind of work that he's put in, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, but a lot of the things that I put into my career, into my music and to my day-to-day life, I get from him. You know what I mean? He's pretty much on my ass when it comes to certain things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm very appreciative of him. So
you mean to tell me that the saw is sharpening the saw when it comes to you and him? You know, you could have fooled me, man. I could have thought it was Kyle that was sharpening the saw for you.
Oh, Kyle's there. Kyle's around.
For those of you that don't know, man, when typically individuals, once you get to a level of success, we start creating altered egos, and Kyle is Sean Mecca's alter ego. And Kyle, you know, I've never heard Kyle rap, but I've seen him a couple of times. He shows up on my feed and I'm like, what? Who is this guy?
He's what do you call it? He comes around every blue moon.
Gotcha.
So
now, is that for marketing purposes or is that just comedic relief? I mean, because
it's just for whatever. I mean, I use it for both. It's just the first time it happened, it was just for fun. You know what I mean? Just for comedy. So, I mean, cause I love comedy. People tell me the dude, you should do comedy instead of rap. So
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. So it's always a good time to just have fun and just kick it and just talk about certain items. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I've told you. Let's have fun with this one. So
yeah.
Your influences, man. Tell me about that. Who influences you? I mean, because obviously I heard that you've also done some country. So what are your influences?
Influences. I listen to personally when it comes to just music in general, man. We got George Strait. We got Frank Sinatra. We got Garth Brooks. We got who else can I name? Some new cats, Post Malone, Drake. You know, there's just, the list goes on. Dean Martin, you know what I mean? So I tend to listen to a lot of everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As long as it sounds good to me, I'm going to listen to it. So, but those people are mainly the people that I listen to a whole lot. And especially, you know, growing up, I listened to a lot of Texas rap growing up. So, you know, Paul Wall, Mike Jones, Chingo Bling, Slim Thug, and, you know, so forth and so forth. So
funny that you mentioned that. I used to work for a local Spanish TV station. Uh-huh. And this was around 2006. And at that time, I was just finishing, you know, doing my DJ circuit at the bars and the clubs. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, let me post this statement and then tell me if you agree or disagree. sometimes you just got to go out there and put yourself out there, because what's the worst that can happen? They say no, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's weird that you say that, because I was just saying that to my brother yesterday. We're talking on FaceTime, and I told him, bro, you go out there, you're going to be on your deathbed one day. What's the worst that what's the worst thing that could happen? You got to take that risk and just go get it. You know what I mean?
Correct. So the story goes like this. 2006, I'm working for an early morning show. I'm the stage manager, and my boss at the time is telling me, hey, see if you can come up with some guests, for the show. So I take my Chingo Bling CD and I start looking at the phone number on here, and I make some phone call to Chingo Bling. You know, here I am thinking that I'm going to make contact with like a third party, right? Like,
no.
No, nah, man, it was Chingo. Yep. It was Chingo. And I pitched to him, you know, like, yo, I'm working for a show. You know, here at this network. Would you like some airtime? You know, so we can do some interviews. Yeah, sure thing. Not a problem. We'll be there. You know, let's set it up. I'm over here thinking, wow, that was pretty easy. but, you know, man, we're all human beings in this thing called Earth. And that's what we've been discussing. And that's kind of like the main focus in our podcast, is like, yo, man, let's just create relationships. Let's collaborate. Let's communicate.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's talk. So long story short, Chingo shows up. We did a piece. It went great. Same thing with you. Sean Mecca, yo, would you like to do the podcast? Here we are, right? No. Let me ask you this question, man. Growing up, you told me a little bit about Texas rap. What influence did that have?
Man, a whole lot, actually, man, because that's younger, you know, growing up, at my music catalog wasn't big. You know what I mean? I was listening to what was popping. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So, you know, Texas rap was just everywhere. That's when it exploded. That's when Mike Jones came out and Paul Wall, and everybody was just exploding everywhere. You know what I mean? So it's just right. Like, I want to be like those guys. You know what I mean? Like that's us. You know what I'm saying? Like they're from our state. You know, that is, you know, we saw them on MTV, BET and everywhere. You know what I mean? So, you know, I wanted to be like them. So that made a big impact on my life. Even till today, like I still listen to it. You know what I mean? And there's times I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make a Texas type joint. You know what I mean? I'm gonna come up with something dope. You know what I mean? With a screwed hook or something on there. Like, I'll occasionally come up with stuff like that I don't really put out. You know, so
yeah, I've heard it in your music, and that's why I asked the question, because it seemed to me that yes, there was a lot of Texas influence, but what I've been waiting for is a purple cover, chopped and screwed version of an album.
Yeah,
is that in the works?
I've been thinking about it.
Is it in the works?
I've been thinking about it. Shoot, I've been thinking about doing a mixtape. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the old school mixtape with the DJ at the beginning and, you know, some scratching and mixing, you know what I mean? In between the songs, like the way it used to be back then. So, I mean, I love that era of music. Like that was the best. That's when you really appreciated the music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you couldn't get it until it came out on the mixtape. You know what I mean? So,
you know, have you seen some of these things coming out on BET, the Chronicle series?
No. And what is it? They recreate like a little movie of the song and stuff like that. Is that right?
No. Okay. So the Chronicle series, it's a documentary. And the most recent ones that I've seen has been No Limit and Rough Riders.
Ooh.
And, you know, when you talk about the game and how it worked,
uh-huh.
You know, Master P was definitely a brilliant businessman, because Master P was talking about, you know what, pay me per album. And you know what, I'm going to drop 20 albums and you got to pay me for every single one of them, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, how does that translate in a business aspect to some of the stuff that you're doing? I mean, is it different now? Is the game different? Because,
yeah, man, it's a hell of a lot different than what it was back then. I mean, back then you could sell millions of copies of an album, and you know, just today I was reading up on on, I think it was like Lil Uzi Vert and Future. They sold like a certain amount of copies, but it was only like 100+ thousand, which is still pretty good. You know what I mean? Like nowadays, but you know, back to, compared to back then when these guys were selling millions of records, you know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't compare. You know what I mean? Right. And some of these labels just aren't giving out these big major deals anymore because that CD era is dead. You know what I mean? Of course, you still got certain people that still, you know, I need to get a hard copy of it. You know what I mean? Right. Which is fine. You know what I mean? But like that time is just totally different compared to now because we're living in a whole different, you know, digital age. So it's just totally different.
Have you considered vinyl pressing?
And you know what? I've thought about it. I've thought about it just for the fact, just, you know, for personal reasons, just to have something like that. But you know, it would be nice just to have something like that out in circulation. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And the reason I ask is because if you've ever gone to a Barnes and Noble, to a Guitar Center, as soon as you walk in, you're seeing a whole bunch of albums being up for sale.
Yeah.
Even Dillard's.
Target got some all over the place.
Yeah. Also. So like there seems to have been an increase of individuals wanting vinyl. And that's definitely a niche market, I would say. So let me ask you this question.
I think it has to do with the sound.
Uh-huh.
I think it has to do with the sound of vinyl because it sounds just totally different when it's on vinyl. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, it sure does. It's a little bit more of a crisp sound.
Yeah.
And the question that I wanted to ask you was, so tell me about Sean Mecca, the middle schooler and the high schooler. Was he in band? Was he like writing? I mean, you told me about some of these things, but can you be a little bit more specific for our listeners?
In middle school, I was, you know what, sixth grade, I played some saxophone. I did a little of that for, you know, just a little bit just to, you know what I mean? Just for the heck of it. I played, you know, football in seventh and eighth grade. So, but music wasn't really, you know, something that I was thinking about too much. You know, like I would get home and, you know, I would rap and freestyle and stuff like that. But
right.
I wasn't too much on, ooh, I got to record. You know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't start recording stuff too much, you know, a lot till I got to maybe like high school. High school was a little bit different because that was pretty much my main focus besides trying to keep my grades up because come senior year, you know, I skipped a whole lot of days just to go to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually missed like 46 days once then, I think like two semesters or one semester or something like that. So I had to go to court for that too. So, I spent a lot of time my senior year in the studio. So that's when I guess you could say that's when I started to take it a little bit more serious. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. So you had, it sounds a lot like you had some truancy issues.
Yeah.
And
I got in trouble, man. I got in trouble. So
how many times did Sean Mecca go to detention or ISS?
No, bro. You know what? You know, come to think about it. I never went to, you know, ISS or, you know, detention or anything like that. So, you know, I was a decent kid, you know, I wasn't getting in trouble or anything like that, you know? So it's just my senior year. I was just like, man, you know what? I have work home. I'm going to leave home earlier than what I'm supposed to. And, you know, I'm going to go to the studio. So,
man, you know, with you telling me that you hardly got in trouble in high school, you didn't go to detention, you didn't go to ISS. Man, I'm starting to think you have no street cred.
We ain't going to talk about none of that, sir. So,
yo, man. the one song that comes to my mind is 50 Cent Wangsta.
Wangsta.
I'm messing around, man. Hey, Sean Mecca got street cred. Oh, man. Anyways, man, like, okay, right. So Sean Mecca was a saxophone player, but didn't really focus on music at the time. But do you wish you would have had a little bit more of background in music, maybe playing keys, playing drums, etc.?
When it came to like piano, I'm self-taught. So, you know, I know a little bit of the piano, saxophone, guitar, everything was just pretty much self-taught except for the saxophone. I was in the band. So, but guitar and piano, I'm pretty much self-taught. So, and you know what, growing up, I had a lot of, I would play with the guitar a whole lot only because my grandma bought me the guitar. Mm-hmm. We're at the Pulga. And, you know, it's like, I was like, I want that guitar. And she bought it for me. I was like, you know what? I don't even know what the hell I'm going to do with it.
Yeah.
I would just sit outside. Yeah. And I would just sit outside just wailing on that thing, man, until I would just like, you know what? This note sounds good with this note. And this sounds good with this. So, and I just took it from there. And I just, you know, once the internet came along, I started, you know, looking up videos and stuff like that. And, you know, properly learning the keys and the chords and stuff of the piano and the guitar. So took off from there. So.
I'll tell you what, man, you make me think of a very, very personal item, because growing up, you know, as a kid, I wanted to also play guitar, play piano, etc. But yeah. I'm guessing my story is probably like your story, because we couldn't afford freaking personal lessons. So ahí se queda. You know what I'm saying? Like as much as we want to, until we get that opportunity to be in band and yeah. But yeah, we still got to buy the stuff, right? Or we still, hey, you need to buy the mouthpiece then. You got to, yo.
That was still extra stuff that you had to buy. I was like, oh, man.
it's a huge divide, man. I'll tell you this much. I mean, when you think of it, like there's a huge divide when those kids that can and those kids that don't, because mm-hmm. of certain circumstances. It's not that they can't. It's that they just don't have the means. So, I mean, what would you do? Sean Mecca gets a major record label, gets an opportunity to do some philanthropy work. Ah, chivas, say that word again. Philanthropy.
I can't. So
philanthropy. If Sean Mecca was to do some philanthropy work, what would donate towards?
I mean, being that, you know, I went through stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like being, you know, I mean, we weren't broke or anything like that, but it's just like, we couldn't get a lot of things that we wanted, you know what I mean? Like I would definitely give back to, you know, the kids in the schools, like, you know what, let's buy all the kids saxophones, let's buy all the band members, you know, instruments, let's get all the mixtures, all the, you know, all the schools have what they need, computers and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I'd definitely look into that, especially when it comes to, you know, doing it for my hometown. You know what I mean? So.
Where is the hometown?
Donna, Texas.
Okay.
Donna, Texas.
I have a question regarding that. Donna, Texas. I don't know why I've heard this, but I've heard that they call it Ghost Town.
Yeah, that's true.
What's the reason behind it? Do you know?
Honestly, I do not know. That has been just something that has been stuck with us for years, man. It's just, you know, I don't know who started it or what. You know what I mean? But I personally think it started around the time when I was, you know, in junior high, you know, growing up. It's just, you're around, you know, all these things that are happening in that city. It's just, you know what I mean? I don't know where it started at, but, you know.
This is what I heard. I heard that there's a ghost running down one of your main streets. What's your main street?
Main Street. There's okay. Main Street. I mean, I've seen it. I'm not gonna lie. I've seen ghosts. You know, there is one going down on River Road, South River Road, uh-huh. and Donna. And I've seen her. It's a girl. I've seen her a few times.
Yeah,
I've seen her a few times.
That's what I've heard, yep. man. That's what I've heard. Yep. And that's the reason why I've heard that it's called Ghost Town.
It could be. But I have seen that lady. It's a lady, and then I've seen a little girl, in a white dress. And that is real, 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 real. Yep.
Oh, man. All right. So Ghost Town Donna raised me. But she spent some time in Dallas. Is that true?
I was born in Dallas.
Got you. All right.
Yeah, so I was born in Dallas.
So at what point did you make the move from Dallas to Donna?
I was a baby.
Okay.
I was a baby. Yeah, I was a baby. So I was raised in Donna. I was born in Dallas, raised in Donna.
Gotcha.
I was actually born inside the same room that they kept John F. Kennedy in.
Wow.
Yeah, Fun fact.
Fun fact for all you Sean Mecca fans. Like, share, and subscribe. Sean Mecca at iTunes, Spotify, and Tidal. I'm going to play a cut, man. This has got to be one of my favorite cuts off your albums. It's got warning to my listeners. It's got a little bit of explicit lyrics, but check this out real quick. Where are we at? Oops. Oh, the volume was down. It's taken a while.
That's a really long intro.
Yeah.
Champagne on the floor, cigar all in my mouth, cocaine on the table, tiger all in my house. Champagne on the floor, cigar all in my mouth, cocaine on the table, tiger all in my house. I'm from the 80s. Bitch, I'm living like the 80s. Bitch, I'm living like the 80s. See, I'm living like the 80s.
I gotta say, man, did Scarface influence that song?
Just a tad.
I knew it, man. I always wanted to ask that question because, wow, man, like that song depicts an era of what the 80s is synonymous with. And
yeah, of course.
But you definitely put your spin on it, and that hook, man, that hook goes off.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's one of my favorite songs, man. That's one of my favorites.
Now with this one, you collabed with your buddy Zeus. Tell me about that, and I mean, how does that work? Or, you know, do you just call up the phone and say, "Hey, I got this beat, and I want you to on this track," or I got to pay?
Yeah,
you,
how does that work? No, I mean, pretty much. I mean, with, you know, when it comes to, you know, being friends with somebody, you know, that you know like that, it's just, hey. I got this song I want you on. What do you think? I'm going to send it to you via email. Listen to it. Let me know what you think. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you want to jump on it, jump on it. If not, well, oh, well, you know,
right.
But yeah, that was the case with him. Like, hey man, like, I got this joint I want you to be on, and you know, let me know what you think. And yeah, he sent it back. Actually, he sent it back that same day I sent it to him. So,
man, he's a hustler, man. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking again about, one of Sean Mecca's friends that goes by the name of Carlton Zeus. And he's actually a pretty good guy, man. I've got to meet him a couple of times. I asked him to come to the high school where I work at. Again, I didn't expect for him to come. He showed up. And
wow, nice.
And, you know, he got to meet my colleagues. He got to meet some of my students there on campus. And it was a very, very nice time. For our kids, because we always try to offer our kids the opportunity to say, hey, you know what, you can do it too, right?
Yeah.
So that time I introduced him to the JROTC program because he is a veteran himself, and you know we said, let's do it. He was all for it. Very good guy, man. So as you mentioned what's the worst that can happen? They're gonna say no. No.
All right.
Oh, man. Hey, so this reggaeton joint that you caught coming up, man. This reggaeton, I mean, like, why reggaeton? I thought reggaeton was dead.
No, man. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you would call it reggaeton, but it's just, if it has a beat that goes boom, chick, boom, chick, boom, chick, boom, it's reggaeton to me. You know what I'm saying?
So, right.
But, I mean, I just wanted to tap into it just for fun. You know what I mean? I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do something to the song. Like I said, whenever I'm listening to beats and I'm scanning through, you know, the catalog, I'm just like, oh, I like that one. Okay, I'm gonna try to do something. And if I feel it at that moment, you know what? I'm closing the door. I'm turning off the speakers, and I'm gonna record something right now because that's the time that I'm feeling it. You know what I mean? So
right. So it's like you're as soon as you're in the zone, you take pen, paper, or, you know, you just close the door and let me get jump on it right now. That's your process. Yeah. That's your formula.
Yeah. I mean, there's been times where I come up, you know, I come up with a lot of stuff on the road, you know what I mean? When I'm driving, especially when I'm driving, that's when I come up with a lot of the stuff, and I'll try to remember, you know, what I say, and I get home and like, oh, what the heck did I say? You know what I mean? I need to start recording myself. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I'll take my phone. And it's like, oh, no. Then I get home and I lay it out. You know what I mean? So
let me ask you this question. And this is in regards to a different style of music. As you mentioned, you're messing with reggaeton right now in those beats. Have you ever heard of Afro beats from Nigeria?
Yeah.
I just recently got introduced to it, but one of my Nigerian friends, it's bomb.
It's bumping, bro. I dig it. I actually, whenever I'm looking for stuff like that, I look up, you know, Afro beats, or there's another one called Mumbatombo or something like that.
Mumbaton.
There you go. I was just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
That one, and you know, I love that stuff, man. I love all that culture too. You know what I mean? It's you know, it builds up. You know what I mean? I don't really know how to explain it, man. It's
amazing. You just said it right there.
It's amazing.
It's being cultured. You know what I'm saying? Like we live in an area where Mexico is just right around the way, but you know, when individuals get tunnel vision just on that set of music, there's no growth. However, if you start getting to know outside what's around the world, you know, start listening to Nigerian top 100, if you start listening to Indian top 100, if you start listening to Germany top 100, I mean, you're opening your mind up to an internationally known sound, and that's where breakthroughs happen, I think.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely, man. I think another reason why I wanted to tap into it a little bit more into that reggaeton was because of my grandfather. My grandfather's from Ponce, Puerto Rico. So, you know, being that, you know, that style of music was birthed there. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what? I'm gonna start tapping into it. You know what I mean? My stepmom too. She was the one that's like, hey, you need to start digging into your roots. You know what I mean? It's like, because I'm mixed, I'm Puerto Rican Mexican, so you know what I mean. So it's like, you know what? It's like let's you know, tap into your roots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Start doing some music like that. So,
man, I think I had a conversation with you a couple of years back, and I asked you who's doing your stuff, and you responded with me.
Me. that's me.
Man, tell me about that, man. Like, how, again? It sounds like you're all self-taught.
Yeah, so I pretty much do everything. Everything that you see me post, everything that you see me, you know, from the music to the graphics, you know what I mean? Everything is just, it's all me, man. The mixing, the mastering, all that stuff, minus the beats, you know what I mean? So that stuff I do get from other producers and stuff like that. So, but, you know, graphic work and, you know, doing the mixing and mastering and the recording, you know, it's just all me. I sit here and I just like, you know what, I'm going at it back and forth, recording and stopping, you know what I mean? From the keyboard to the microphone. So I pretty much do everything. So.
Wow. So what programs are you using right now?
Currently? I use GarageBand when it comes to recording. I use Photoshop and I use, what is it called? I can't think of the other program I use on my iPad when it comes to my designs. But I use a lot of Photoshop when it comes to, you know, flyers and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, I do use a lot of apps that I download, and I pay for a lot of apps that I use on my phone when it comes to like little videos and promos that I do.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of that. So, and you'd be surprised, man, that these apps that they have like amazing, just different types of graphics and motion graphics and all this stuff. It's like, man, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was just going to tell you that. I mean, just the amount. I mean, bro, I went to college for journalism. And mm-hmm. and in my college days, I mean, I started learning how to use Photoshop. I was messing with Cubase. I was messing with Logic. I was messing with Pro Tools, Cool Edit. Yeah. And so I'm pretty well-rounded when it comes to that stuff like that. And it really doesn't change. However, the rendering, like, it still takes forever. And
forever.
but these applications, man, I mean, you take something like, with Spark, Adobe Spark.
Uh-huh.
And you're pulling out, you're pumping out a 1 minute video in seconds.
Yep.
Like, wow, man, it's a different ballgame now.
And it's in 4K.
it's
in 4K.
Yeah, and I can't even get that on Adobe Premiere, man. Or
yeah. That just takes so much time, man. That rendering process it's insane, man. So
what do you say to a kid who wants to, you know, that's in high school and say, hey, man, I want to be a rapper. I don't care about school. What do you tell that kid?
Finish school, continue to do, you know, schooling, get a diploma, you know what I mean? Get a small college degree, something that you could have as a backup. Me, because I never went to college. I regret it. I could still go back to school, you know what I mean? But for, you know, what I do right now and, you know, my music career is just, you know, I'm okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for these younger kids, like, hey, man, like, go to school, make sure you go to college, make sure you have a backup plan, because my parents used to always tell me, make sure you have a backup plan. You want to do this music, have a backup plan. And you know what I mean? It's just sometimes, you know, I'm not saying, you know, no negativity or anything like that, but it's just in case, you know what I mean? It does not happen. But you still push and you still grind and you get out there and you do it because that's what you want to do in life. You know what I mean?
But here's the argument to that though. And again, do you think Sean Mecca would be in the position he's in now if he would have gone to college, if he would have had that 9 to 5 that's paying him a good salary?
I still have a 9 to 5 now.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I still work. I work out in the sun. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say, you know, publicly what I do. You know, I'll let you know later. But,
right.
You know, I work out in the sun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and right after high school is just boom, straight to work. I would go to work. Right after I would get out of work, I would go to the studio. You know what I mean? I would record. Right. And there was times where, you know, especially during spring break, maybe that was the time when I met you. Was it during spring break?
I've DJed a couple of spring breaks.
I don't remember when exactly, but yeah, I would go to work, get out of work, head home, change, head straight to South Padre to do a show, uh-huh. Be there to 1-2 in the morning, had to come to work at 8 a.m. the next day, zoom back to Donna because I was staying in Donna at that time.
Right.
Get ready to go to work and have, you know what, I got another show the following day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I did that for like 2-3 years. It was just back to back. Okay, I got 2-3 shows in 1 week. I had to go to work, head back to South Padre, back home, and go to work again, and boom, 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 just back and forth. So, I mean, for a lot of people, that sounds like, man, that's a lot of work, and I don't want to do it. It was like, bro, it was like, I was hungry. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to do that. Like, I wanted to be there so bad. It's like, I had to make that trip. You know what I mean?
Right.
And my mom would be like, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? And she's like, you need to, you know what I mean? Just go to work and, or just, go get a regular job. I was like, you know what? It's like, I don't want a regular job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I have a regular job now, but because, you know what I mean? There's bills that got to be paid.
Right. It's that hustler's mentality.
Yeah.
I can relate to that, man. I can relate to that. I mean, and I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there that can relate to this exact same thing. It's like,
definitely.
The question is, how bad do you want it?
Exactly. Do you want it just a little bit, or do you really want it? Are you hungry enough for it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and you know, I tell the people around me, like, you know what, this is why I'm taking the risk. This is why I'm going out there. This is why I'm going out of state. This is why I'm going to these shows. Like, you know, even though there's times I don't get paid, there's times when there's one person in the crowd, there's times where there's 1,000 people in the crowd. You know what I mean? It's just like, you just don't know when your time is coming to blow up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So go for it.
Who's one of the biggest persons that you've collaborated with that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I've just collaborated with such and such.
The biggest collaboration would be Lil Flip. Tell
about that.
He's cool, man. He was a real cool cat when I met him, bro. He's real cool. That was actually just by accident, bro. Like, that was just an accident. I had a studio in Edinburgh that we opened up, and I got a call from a promo buddy of mine. He's like, hey, he's like, we got, you know, oh, actually Lil Flip was performing that night. We were going to go open up for him.
Okay.
Excuse me. So he hit me up. He's like, hey, he's like, Flip is doing features for this amount of money. Do you want to do it? I was like, let me call you back. I thought about it. I was like, you know what? Bring him by, bro. Let's do it. We ended up knocking off the track within 24 hours because the beat had my producer Skinny at that time. He was just like, dude, he's like, I made the beat. My computer crashed. I have to remake the beat again.
Oh,
the dude he remade the beat, bro. Like, quick.
He came in, like, clutch.
Yes, bro. So, you know, we did the beat and we did the song, and within 24 hours, dude, we had it all just compiled together, and it was awesome, man. And growing up, like I said, I listened to a lot of Texas artists. Lil Flip was one of the ones that, actually, he was one of the first concerts that I ever went to, because I don't know if you remember when the Dodge Arena was here. It was Fat Joe, Lil Flip, and somebody else. I remember who was with them, but they were at the Dodge Arena.
Okay.
And that was back in maybe like junior high, maybe when I was in junior high. And he was one of the first concerts I ever went to.
So I got to meet Lil Flip as a DJ back when he came down to a place called Club Fuego.
Okay.
Yin Yang Twins were down, and so was he. So it was Yin Yang, Rapid Rick, Lil Flip, mm-hmm. and his entourage. I'll tell you about that story later. I guess not.
Yeah, there's some extras that we can't say online.
Yeah, but needless to say, man, it was definitely one of those wow, I can't believe I'm DJing and I yeah. can't believe that I'm here, you know, and Lil Flip's here and so forth. Who else, man? Feel free to name drop.
Chingo Bling too, man. Chingo Bling actually went to his house to go do a song with Chingo. I was producing at that time, so it was a song that I produced, and we went to his house. So that was an experience, man. That was awesome. Yeah, that guy, he is funny as hell, man. You see him on TV, you see him in the videos, and it's the same personality in person. You know what I mean? Like, it's incredible, man.
I don't know how I feel about Chingo anymore, man.
A lot of people don't know how they feel about Chingo nowadays,
man. Oh, so, man, it's.
I mean, to me, it's whatever, man. I mean, I got a lot of friends that are, you know what I mean, in going towards that same boat, or that uh-huh. have been in that same boat. So, I mean, you know, we talk about it, we argue about it. It's all love for me. So.
It's what it is. I respect your opinion and so forth. But what I'm getting at is like, I met Chingo back in the day when he was he had come down to this place called AK's at the time. And he was there with Fifth Ward Weeby, rest in peace. Mm. And but I have to tell you about this conversation later. But anyways, needless to say, we had a good time. We had a good time.
Very, very good time, I bet, man. I bet that was around the time he had that song Walk Like Leto, right?
That's the one. Yeah. That was around that time, yep. And
he was doing that promo run. I remember that.
Yeah, so him and I hung out. You know, we were out there, and I might have to tell you about that later. one more. Who else have you collaborated with?
Majorly, that's it, man. This is Chingo, Lil Flip. I've been in the studio with Mr. Lee. I don't know if you know.
No,
Mr. Lee is. Mr. Lee is a Grammy Award winning producer. That guy, he's worked with Tupac. He's worked with the Backstreet Boys. He worked recently with Nipsey Hussle. So he had his catalog is just huge. You know what okay. I mean? Like he yeah. has a huge catalog. So we went out to Dallas. We were in the studio with him. We got to vibe with him, talk with him and stuff like that. And we recorded some songs, you know what I mean? But that was just for he was trying to come up with a writing team. You know, he was trying to put together a team of writers and producers to shop beats and to shop songs to other major artists, because that's how the industry works. You know what I mean? Like some of these major artists don't write their own songs. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. Pretty much what he was trying to do was just make that team, you know what I mean? To, you know, push them out and let's make some money. So I had went out there, you know what I mean? I had a friend of mine who knew him. He's like, hey, once you come out, let's get in the studio. Let's lay some songs down. And, you know, he just, you know, it was just amazing experience because I heard of him growing up. You know what I mean? So.
That's awesome. So yep. if you could snap your fingers and work with one individual, who would that be?
Man, that's a hard question, man. That's a hard question because like so many people just come up to mind, man. Like,
but that one person that you've always said, man, like I could die happy.
Nah, I don't know, man. I wouldn't be able to answer that right now.
Well, you'll probably be able to answer that when I tell you about the Chingo Bling story, tell you about the Lil Flip story.
Yeah. Nah, there's a lot of people that I would work with, man. I mean, like dead and alive, you know what I mean? So yeah.
They have to be alive, man. They can't be one of these dead voters that voted in the 2020 election. Yeah. They have to be alive.
Me was so. I mean, right now, currently, I would work with Drake, of course. You know what I mean? That guy, like, everything he puts out is just, you know, banger after banger after banger. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, I would definitely like to work with that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, man. So let me ask you this other question, because you're a very creative guy, like I've said before. From anywhere from audio to photos to flyers and so forth. But is there more of a feature coming up in regards to maybe a web series or Netflix, etc.? Like what's in the future for Sean Mecca?
I would like to start a vlog, man. I would really like to start a web series where you know, it's a day to day in the life, you know what I mean? Just you know, following me around and stuff like that. And I always tell my friends this, and he makes fun of me, like, bro, you always say you're gonna do it, you never get to it, you know what I mean? Because we go out of town a lot. It's just, you know, this year, of course, we haven't been able to go nowhere, but we do go out of town a lot. We travel a lot, so it's, you know, mm-hmm. just being on the road with us is just funny. It's funny, you know, just the jokes and the pranks and all this stuff that we do. You know, it's hilarious. You know what I mean? And I think that would be something that people would love to watch. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, hopefully starting next year, once everything calms down with this virus and stuff like that, I think, you know, we could start something up like that. So you might be seeing that next year.
I look forward to it, man, because that's kind of the way this started, the Joe's About podcast. I had always said I wanted to do a podcast. Then I said, well, why not? What do I need? Right. So I started like, well, shoot, I need my microphone for sure. I need my headphones and so forth. And I said, well, let's do it, you know? So I started reaching into my network, my Rolodex. I started going through my Rolodex and I go, 2010, I met Sean Mecca and oh, this was his phone number. Let me give him a call. And sure, we're here today, you guys. That Rolodex is work, man. You gotta keep that in check and in sync. But
definitely.
Dude, okay. Let me ask you this question. And this is something coming up. You got Mike Tyson, you got Roy Jones Jr. Are you a boxing fan?
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah.
Who's your favorite boxer of all time?
I would say Tyson, man. Tyson, new, like old school Tyson, and then now I would say Madonna, but Madonna's still kind of, he's still old school, but Madonna was popping when he was out. So
okay, so I would imagine the question is Tyson or Roy Jones.
Oh, Tyson. I don't know what the hell I don't know what the hell Roy Jones is thinking, man, to get into that ring with that guy, bro. I don't know what anybody's thinking just to get into that ring with that guy. So
are we gonna see another ear biting experience?
I hope not. I mean, that would be great, but that would be good for, you know, for the internet, but I hope not, man.
The internet always wins, man. I swear.
Tyson is a beast. He is a monster, man. Like that guy, man, dude, I've seen him sparring. I've seen him, you know, in matches, and it's insane, man. Like
okay. I'm gonna stop you real quick, because I've been saying this all along. You're seeing him in sparring. You're seeing 30 seconds to a minute on Instagram. Can he last longer than a minute with all that weed smoking he's been doing?
Well, yeah, that's true, man. He does smoke a lot of bud. So I don't know.
let's listen to another cut. Tell us about this song as we end this podcast, man.
That song, I produced that song, so you can hear it at the beginning. You know, Sean Mecca on the beat. I produced that one. That was just an accident, actually, man. I made the beat. I was messing around with the beat. I finished the beat and I was like, man, you know, I'm really liking it. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm gonna do it. That same day I made the beat, I did the song. I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna. That one was actually written. I wrote that song. So. That one's really special to me, man. I really enjoyed creating that one. I really enjoyed just the whole vibe of that song. And there's a whole lot of people that really love that song. You know what I mean?
That's your number one song on iTunes, is what I see here. Is that true?
Yeah, So that has a lot of views, man. It especially overseas in Germany and Russia and the UK. It's just people love that stuff over there, man. It's just, yeah. I don't know if it's like the Texas vibe to it, or you know what I mean. Just it's just something they enjoy out there, man.
It's something that I like to call feel good music, man. It's
definitely, yeah, yeah.
Just driving on a Sunday night, just cruising down the street, listening to this, definitely puts you in the mood. Just like, you know what, I had a rough week, but you know what, it's gonna get better.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you once again, Sean. Thank you for joining us today on the Josabot podcast. It's been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit more. How can people reach you, man? Tell us about your social medias.
Pretty much everything is at Sean Mecca, SHAUNMECCA. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, I'm everywhere. You type me into Google, Sean Mecca, everything, it's just all me, man. So you can find me everywhere, Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, and any kind of streaming, whatever streaming service you use, I'm gonna be there. So
gotcha.
Yeah.
Once again, thank you so much. We're gonna cut Josabot podcast. Like, share, subscribe. Share this episode with all your friends. Let them know, hey, Sean Michael's a cool guy, man. And make sure to Yeah, make sure to freaking put it on your playlist. Let it get repeats, right? That's what we want.
Repeats. We want streams. Let's get them streams up.
All right, Sean. Thank you so much for joining us, man. I'll see you soon, man. Yeah, have a great one.
I appreciate you, brother.
God bless you.
Likewise.